Israeli spyware vendor Quadrain shuts down. NCR gets ransomwared. India passes online fact-checking laws. And Russian hackers track Western aid convoys. This is Risky Business News, prepared by Catalin Kimpanu and read by me, Claire Ed. Today is the 17th of April, and this podcast episode is brought to you by application allow listing software maker Airlock Digital. In today's top story, Israeli surveillance vendor Quadrain has apparently ceased operating after Microsoft and Citizen Lab published reports detailing its offensive hacking capabilities. The company notified employees of its decision last week, according to Israeli news outlet Calculist. Reports from Microsoft and Citizen Lab published last week linked the company's RAIN surveillance platform to operations against journalists, political opposition figures, and NGO workers. Microsoft and Citizen Lab discovered RAIN platforms installed in North America, Central Asia, Southeast Asia, the Middle East, and even inside the EU. The platform is allegedly capable of compromising both Android and iOS devices. Quadrain has been operating since 2017 and was run by former Israeli intelligence officers and former NSO Group employees. In other news, Microsoft says the Darkbit ransomware operation is a front for Muddy Water, which is a hacking unit run by Iran's Ministry of Intelligence and Security. Microsoft says it's seen Muddy Water transfer access to compromised environments to a subgroup it tracks as Dev 1084. This subgroup's main job appears to be to deploy the Darkbit ransomware and conduct destructive operations on the victim's network. Microsoft believes Muddy Water is attempting to disguise intelligence collection as mundane ransomware intrusions. Ukrainian hacktivist group Cyber Resistance claims to have hacked the email account of a Russian GRU officer that they believe is the leader of the infamous APT-28 hacking unit. They identified the officer as Lieutenant Colonel Sergei Alexandrovich Margachev. Margachev's connection to APT-28 has been widely known since 2018, when the US Justice Department charged him over the 2016 DNC hack. But no previous reporting described Margachev as APT-28's leader. A cyber attack is suspected of having disrupted the operations of irrigation systems in Israel's Upper Galilee region. Water controllers for irrigating fields in the Jordan Valley and control systems for the Galil Sewage Corporation went down last week during cyber attacks aimed at Israeli targets known as Ops Israel. Now, the Ops Israel attacks are run by hacktivists annually, and while several hacktivist groups announced their participation in Ops Israel this year, the identity of the attacker that disrupted the irrigation systems remains unknown. The world's largest banking and payments software maker, NCR, has confirmed that a recent data center outage was caused by a ransomware attack. The incident impacted the availability of NCR's Aloha point-of-sale payments platform. The intrusion was claimed by the Alpha V ransomware gang, which temporarily listed NCR on its dark web leak site. NCR hasn't said if it paid a ransom or not. The Director of Cybersecurity at the NSA, Rob Joyce, says Russian hackers are breaking into security cameras across Ukraine to track the flow of arms and material across the country. Joyce says Russian hackers have used legitimate camera credentials, but have also used exploits, including zero days. Joyce described the intelligence collection campaign as creative. Meanwhile, the Indian government has updated its 2021 IT laws to add a clause requiring online platforms such as Meta and Twitter to take down information that's not been fact-checked by an Indian government body. Now, government officials say the amendment is meant to fight online misinformation campaigns, but some government officials, press freedom advocates, and tech experts have called the new clause an attempt to censor journalism. They say that this new fact-checking mechanism doesn't include judicial oversight, an appeals process, nor does it specify which government body will decide what information is false or true. Anne Keyes-Butler has been named as the new director of the UK's GCHQ intelligence agency. Keyes-Butler will succeed Sir Jeremy Fleming, who announced his decision to step down in January after 6 years in the role. Keyes-Butler previously served as Deputy Director General for MI5 before she was named the GCHQ's 17th director. Dutch police have sent thousands of emails, hundreds of letters, and made a dozen calls to Dutch citizens who had accounts on Raid Forums, which is a cybercrime forum that was taken down in April 2022. Authorities didn't file any charges, but said they only wanted to remind users they were no longer anonymous and may risk serious repercussions if they continue illegal activities. Meanwhile, Malta's police force is investigating four students who found and reported a vulnerability in FreeHour, a software application used by local universities and their students. According to the Times of Malta, the students reported the vulnerability to the app maker last October, gave it 3 months to fix it, and requested a bug bounty for their efforts. In a blog post, FreeHour says it misunderstood the initial report and thought it was an extortion attempt and reported it to authorities. The company says it eventually learned the students had no malicious intent, but by that point a criminal case was underway and they had no further say. So the four were eventually arrested, had their houses searched, computer equipment seized, and they now risk up to 4 years in prison. In other news, the April 2023 Patch Tuesday was last week. We saw security updates from Adobe, Apple, Microsoft, Mozilla, Google, Fortinet, Hikvision, and SAP. Microsoft patched 97 vulnerabilities, including a 0-day being used in attacks by the Nokoyowa ransomware gang. 2 0-days were also patched in iOS and Mac OS, and another one in the Chrome web browser. According to Google tag head Shane Huntley, the Apple and Chrome 0-days were used by two different surveillance vendors. And finally, here's a quick summary of the largest crypto heist that took place last week, because there were so many. The BitTrue cryptocurrency exchange lost $23 million in a mysterious hack of its hot wallet. South Korean cryptocurrency platform GDAC was hacked for $13 million worth of assets. A threat actor exploited a bug in the Yearn finance platform to steal almost $12 million worth of cryptocurrency. The Hundred finance platform was hacked for $7.4 million following a flash loan attack. And Terraport DeFi platform was hacked for $4 million worth of crypto assets. And that is all for this podcast edition. Closing the episode is Airlock Digital CEO David Cottingham.
In any endpoint security or threat intelligence product, there's a significant reliance on hash values to uniquely identify blocks of data. Most non-proprietary hash values such as MD5, SHA-1 and SHA-256 work in a fairly straightforward way. They read code from the first bit all the way to the end and provide you with the hash. However, there's one hash algorithm which throughout the Airlock journey I've seen many people get confused about, which is AuthentiCode hashing. AuthentiCode hashing was developed by Microsoft to support the digital signing of files, and as the name suggests, it authenticates the code. Using SHA-256 doesn't work, because if you read the file from the start to finish, then put a certificate on the end, the hash value would change. And AuthentiCode solves this by hashing most of the file, but leaving out the certificate part. This change in what to hash is the basis of nearly all certificate stuffing attacks. Companies will stuff extra data in the certificate, and figure out fancy ways to get it to execute or be read. Google uses this loophole in their Chrome installer today, for example, by embedding a dummy certificate on the installer itself, which contains the data that the installer reads when it's executed. This is why Airlock uses plain SHA-256 to represent the whole file. However, we must support SHA-256 AuthentiCode under the hood to support certificate validation. The confusion part I referenced earlier comes from terminology. In many cases, Microsoft will refer to the hash value of the file as SHA-256 when it's actually a SHA-256 AuthentiCode. The Microsoft recommended block rules are an example of this. You can't tell the hash type on paper as they're still the same SHA length. Thankfully, over the last decade, AuthentiCode hashes are increasingly referred to as PE SHA-256 hashes. So just keep in mind that nearly all threat intelligence works on plain SHA-256 hashes. So if you get a hash value from Windows, throw it into VirusTotal and get no results, it may well be a SHA-256 AuthentiCode hash.
And that was David Cottingham from today's sponsor, Airlock Digital. You can find links to all the reports mentioned in this show in our newsletter. Just head to riskybiznews.substack.com. Thanks for listening.